It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle coming back to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Still talking Penn State, Iowa. Penn State wins 17-12. They do it in fairly ugly fashion, if you want to put it that way. It was a workmanlike victory on the road, but still an outstanding win for this Penn State team, a young team. Every little building block, I think, counts with this team. And I think sometimes you don't give a team a pass per se, but you know, we talked in the previous segment about, you know, the offense coming out a little too amped up, the energy in the stadium in a big game like this. This one just felt different than the Maryland game did.
The place was rocking too, man.
Yeah. So to be able to go into that environment and come out cool and calm, it's a big ask of a team that's a lot of these guys going through this stuff for the very first time. But every building block, I think, it counts with this team. So to be able to not have your best effort, not play your best, you know, not have your best fastball per se if you're a pitcher, and to still beat a pretty decent Iowa team on the road is a big deal. Now they sit at 6-0 with a lot of different scenarios out there in front of them. You know, most of those start this Saturday against Michigan, whiteout game, College Game Day in town, as was announced shortly after the Iowa game. You know, you got at Michigan State after that, at Minnesota following the bye week. That's now an undefeated ranked team. Obviously, Ohio State on the road. So there's some big stuff out there.
You buying the Gophers or no?
I'm not buying the Gophers. Okay. I think reality might just be a matter of time. I haven't looked too closely at their schedule, but I can't imagine they have really played anybody.
That is correct.
Okay. So, yeah, but still, the unbeaten team, ranked team on the road is going to feel like Iowa again. So, coming out of this game, you know, I really sensed a lot of disgruntled Iowa fans about the condition that their offense is in. And so,
you hand the keys to Nate Stanley. You reap what you sow. You know, I mean, again, we talked about it on last week's show, but
you did mostly, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe not so much a we, but I thought it was a very simple game plan for Penn State. Don't let them run. And they didn't. What was it? 2.3 yards per carry,
correct,
Iowa had.
Yep.
Make Nate Stanley throw. I think I tweeted it at halftime. The interceptions are going to come. And sure enough, they did. I mean, it's not. You don't need to be a rocket scientist or have a major in, you know, Vince Lombardi school of football to know that you let Nate Stanley throw and throw and throw. Eventually, he's going to throw you an easy interception. And Jaquan Brisker, I mean, if he didn't fall over, I think he still might be running.
So the funny thing is, and Todd Blackledge on the broadcast alluded to this, you just don't know when good Nate Stanley is going to show up, and you don't know when bad Nate Stanley is going to show up. It can be from game to game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think, like the Ohio State game at home a couple years ago, the 55-24 game, good Nate Stanley was there for four quarters, basically.
Right.
That's a pretty rare, that's like finding a unicorn. From one series to the next, from one game to the next, from one quarter to the next, this guy has a way of, what's the word I'm looking for? Wilting? I don't know.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And I mean, that's the challenge of playing quarterback is finding that consistency when teams are adjusting to you, throwing different things at you, pressuring you in different ways. And so sometimes, you know, he just gets a little errant with the way that he goes about his business. But so Iowa fans are not happy with the state of their offense. I didn't dig down through message boards enough to see if Nate Stanley was a real focal point of that. I assume there's probably a good group of fans out there who makes him the focal point. But, you know, the interior of that Iowa offensive line was an issue. Then their right guard doesn't play in this game. It's a bigger issue. They gave up 10 sacks on the road to Michigan the week before. So all the conditions were there for Penn State's front to really make some things happen. And it was Robert Windsor who was the guy in this game. 2.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, 2 more quarterback hurries. He was unblockable. And I guess, you know, to take a long walk for a short drink of water, where does the, you know, credit to Penn State's defense versus, you know, blame for Iowa's offense. Where does it lie? Somewhere in the middle there, because Penn State's offense is clearly the real deal. And I think it's the real deal against, you know, a lot, you know, the better teams that they play. And the good thing for them is that a lot of teams that they play are offensively challenged.
Yeah, that's like the whole Big Ten right now.
Basically.
I mean, if you look at the scoring offense and scoring defense stats, the Big Ten is at the top of those lists. And that's
four out of the top five in the country, I believe, in scoring defense.
Right. And that's because they're feasting on some Big Ten offenses that are 126th and 127th. They're like four of the bottom five in terms of scoring offense. It's not quite that bad, but it's close. But, yeah, I mean, I look at the Big Ten as a whole coming out of this weekend. You had Ohio State off. You had Michigan get up big on Illinois, let Illinois walk all the way back in, and then proceeded to kick away again. They still covered the 21, though. Just wanted to point that out from last Wednesday's show. We had Illinois plus 21 at that point. It closed at 24. At any rate, so I think it's still Ohio State is the class of the Big Ten. Wisconsin is 1A, and Penn State's 1B is how I would rank it at this point. The reason I don't have Penn State yet a little bit higher is just because of what we saw Saturday night, where there's going to be games where I don't know if you can trust the offense just yet. I think you can trust that the special teams had their one game bad performance.
Got that out of their system.
Got that out of their system and was perfect as it had been all season prior to the Purdue win. So I think you can trust them. You can absolutely trust the defense. But can you trust the offense yet? I think they're getting closer. I think this win is yet another building block in that process. But I'm just not quite there yet. So, just to go back to that defense, though, for a second. I mean, Nate Stanley aside, I mean, they just hound it. Again, you mentioned that Iowa had some injuries to their front, but they just hounded Iowa's passing attack all night long, and Nate Stanley had to be hurting after that game. I mean, Sean Clifford took some shots, but Nate Stanley took some too.
You know, they had the right idea coming out, which is to get rid of the ball quickly. Don't let that pass rush get to you. It's hard to string that together for four quarters. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're recapping Penn State-Iowa. Lions 17-12 win, 6-0 now on the season with a big game against Michigan coming up. If you're interested in checking out that Michigan game in a way that you've never checked out a football weekend in Happy Valley, you got to check out our friends at GoPSURV.com. Still some availability for that weekend. The ultimate tailgating experience Friday through Sunday. Tailgate there, tailgate at the stadium, get a ride back and forth. It's a pretty awesome deal. GoPSURV.com. One of the big storylines in this game, Greg, that we didn't get to was Noah Cain and the complexion of the offense and how that's different with him in the game. You know, I think the offensive line, it just feels like they block a little different because they know, you know, one crease is all it takes for Noah Cain to grind out 7 yards. I'm curious to see over the course of a season how many explosive runs he's capable of putting up, because I don't think that's going to be a huge number. But I think it's exactly what this offense needs, and frankly, you know, it's a dynamic getting north south and taking what's available to you without getting wide-eyed about trying to turn it into an 80-yard touchdown. It's not something that was Saquon Barkley's specialty. I don't think it was something that was Miles Sanders' specialty. Those were such explosive talents. They were always on the lookout for big plays. Noah Cain, not that he's not looking for big plays, but there's something to be said, you know, about how smooth this offense and how on schedule the offense can stay with a guy who's going to be like that. The one cut and get up field, it's not something that we haven't talked about in the past, but in this game, you know, especially the 4-minute offense, that's the one thing that I think you can look at and say, you know, a 4-minute offense has been an issue really since James Franklin's been here, right?
Yeah.
You know, they've put up a lot of points some seasons, the 16 season, for example. But, you know, some of the big gripes about the team are not being able to run out the clock on wins. Ohio State, you know, USC in the Rose Bowl. So you have some hope here that if Penn State is going to be leading in the fourth quarter against a good team, maybe there's a new complexion in this offense. Noah Cain's the guy in 4-minute situations. I had him at...
Well, he should have been in the Pitt game too, so at least they didn't make that mistake twice.
Yeah, yeah. So now it's crystal clear. Not only is Noah Cain their best back, he's their closer. I don't care who starts. You know, in this rotation, it doesn't matter, I think, to me who starts. Like, yeah, it might be beneficial for Noah Kane to be in the game on that opening drive, whatever. But I think the finishing is where you start to see the differentiation here. And Noah Kane's the finisher. 67 yards, I think, in the fourth quarter, right, at least. So, you know, he's a guy who put it on ice again, a 102-yard day. Another impressive performance.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really, really a solid, solid performance for him. And it just, every time he comes in the game, Dustin, it just, it looks a little bit different. Yeah, there's a little bit more push up field. There's a little bit more going on when Penn State is you know, heading toward the opponent's the 50 and then the opponent's red zone. You know, it just seems like there's more options. Teams have more to worry about, and ultimately, that's a good thing for Penn State.
Well, we'll hear. I thought James Franklin had said something really fascinating about that. Not to sort of bury the lead, but we'll let him say those things a little bit later. But I think there's got to be something to be said as you're an offensive guard. You're Mike Miranda, and you have 100% confidence the guy behind you is going to recognize the hole that you worked hard to create, and he's going to take advantage of that.
Yep.
I think there's got to be something to be said for the mindset of those offensive linemen when Noah Kane's in the game, as opposed to any of these other backs. And that's not a knock on, you know, Journey Brown and Devin Ford specifically. Ricky Slade might be a different story for a different day after the way the whole post game went with him. But I think, you know, the lift is real, and
yeah,
I think
agreed.
It lifts everybody.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I think it just gives everyone a little bit more, you know, a little bit more direction in terms of what this Penn State offense wants to do. Not that it doesn't have direction when the other guys are on the field, but, you know, when Noah Kane's out there, it's clear we're going to give this guy the ball probably two times on the first set of first downs and see what he can do and then go from there.
Real quick, just to wrap things up, your thoughts just on the chains, tattoos, dreads, and We Are shirts that were removed, your interpretation of them wearing them, you know, without it being, it wasn't a conversation that was had before these guys just came out, and the fact that they had to take them off, which looked to be, it was branded, Champs. So it looked to be a compliance issue that they were trying to avoid. But your thoughts on that whole thing, how that played out.
Yeah. I mean, I think James Franklin probably obviously would have loved to have. Heads up. I believe the word is being used is that the shirts were confiscated, which I guess is fair, but it is a compliance issue because you don't know how, you know, you don't, it's basically, number one, it's, it could be considered advertising.
Right.
And I don't, you know, we're not at the name and likeness point in Pennsylvania yet or with the NCAA. So I think Penn State will probably have to report that as a secondary violation. I want to look into that. It's a little bit more, but I think that there was a legitimate compliance concern there. I don't think Penn State was trying to silence anyone.
All right, we're not done talking Penn State, Iowa. We're going to shift to the big guy himself, James Franklin. We're going to hear from him in just a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.